As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Presenting sponsor for today's episode of Hear That Podcast Ground is Visa, a network working for everyone. All right, welcome into the latest edition of Hear That Podcast Ground, the walkout edition. And Jay, we did walk out. We're in the car now, driving back to Cincinnati, walking out of a Bengals double-digit victory in Pittsburgh. It's hard to even say it and not feel like it's almost laughable that that's a thing that happened. The first time they've won by double digits in Pittsburgh since 1995.
Yes.
24-10 is the final. Bengals win. How you feeling?
I mean, it wasn't like it was a fluke thing. They did get some turnovers, but they shut down Pittsburgh's run. They hit Ben Roethlisberger. Most important of all, they didn't let Joe Burrow get hit. They got Joe Mixon. Like, if you had a checklist of everything you needed to do to beat the Steelers, they checked them all. I mean, it was the game never felt in doubt after the Jamar Chase touchdown right before halftime. And then they come out in the second half, add a field goal, all of a sudden it's a double-digit lead. And then it was just kind of sit back, play prevent, make the Steelers go 18 plays in 9 minutes to get a field goal. But they did everything they needed to do to win that game. It was pretty impressive.
We'll get into it in a little bit of, are the Steelers bad or the Bengals good? I can say for sure the Steelers are definitely bad.
Yeah.
I have never seen. Here's the thing. What if I told you of the first four Bengals opponents, the Steelers are the worst?
Well, we don't know about the Jaguars yet. Yeah.
That's true. That's true. They certainly had the worst quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, it's over for Ben. I mean, that at least in this iteration, in this offense, and the way they're constituted with that offensive line, who's dreadful, I know bad offensive line play. I've watched a lot of bad offensive line play. That was as bad as you'll see, between not being able to block, penalties. I mean, you dial it up, anything you can think of. I mean, they're awful, but I don't think that totally takes away from what the Bengals did, because you know what good teams do? They punish bad teams.
Yes.
And they beat them without drama. And that's what happened on the road in Pittsburgh. This was a moment. This was a real moment to point to. And as I kind of wrote in the column, reason to believe. This is reason to believe. We have talked about proof of concept for Zach Taylor since he showed up. Because we haven't seen it. They've been all talk. Now you got proof that this is what it can look like. That this team, all the talk of good vibes and all that stuff, is very real. It's tangible. That is something to believe in. And that goes a long way for a group of players that are trying to figure out if, you know, they really can do it here.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right, because it's, yes, the Steelers are bad, but I don't think that matters, because that team has had the Bengals number for so long. So it is all about belief and kind of turning that around and setting yourself up to possibly be 3-1 if you can win on Thursday night at home against a bad Jaguars team. It wasn't the most impressive Bengals win that we've seen against a good Steelers team, but it doesn't have to be. It's a team that had beat you 10 out of the last 11 times, and you go into their house and basically whip them. And you could just tell that they felt it. But every guy that came in the post-game press conference said, yes, it does mean more than other games. It does matter. A lot of times it's long season. They all count the same. It's all that cliche crap. They were pretty honest about how significant this was. And that's what matters. If they think it's significant, then it is.
Because that's the thing that this team, I think we all could believe in the way they built the roster, in the quarterback, in even the fact the defense is playing better, and a lot of those things. But you just didn't know if they could put it together and have the confidence that you need to beat good teams. And you see it all the time. We've talked about it in the opposite direction in the last 2 years. You get these early season wins or early season losses that set this tone, and it snowballs. There's real momentum in attitude and in buy-in. You can say, oh, yeah, we're all bought in and good vibes and this, that, and the other. You buy in when you do that. That is a buy-in game. That makes everybody believe in this team and what the direction they're going. And they did it. And I thought another part of it was it was totally plausible. And, like, they didn't even play necessarily great. I mean, they played good. They certainly did a lot of things right. And the Steelers, while they were bad, they had some good moments too. But they were just so clearly the better team, and they played like the better team, and they won it like you do when you're the better team. And I think that means a lot in the way they did it, almost as much as the fact that they did it all.
It was huge. They scored first. That was huge, because we talked about it before, where they always have like the special team miscue early on, get behind the eight ball early, and it snowballs. The other thing was the Steelers answered that score early. They get, for the 25th time in the last 30 Bengals-Steelers game, they get a score in the final 2 minutes of the first half, and you're thinking, okay, that's what's going to turn it around. And the Bengals answer it. Three plays, 75 yards, the long ball to Chase, and it was that was significant. I really think that turned the tide of the game. I don't know if they lose that game if they don't get that, but that was almost like an exhale moment where they want to get the score at the end of the half, in the beginning of the half, and they did tack on the field goal. But to have the Steelers do that again, and that was such, it wasn't just the Steelers. A lot of teams did that to them last year, went down, scored right before half, and then they were terrible in the third quarter. And to have the Steelers do it and them to come back and answer it in the fashion they did, that was a really big series.
And they did it in different ways. You know, Tomlin, I still don't understand the timeout he takes at 109 when they're on the two. They're not gonna need a minute and 9 seconds to run a couple of plays from the goal line. Calls a timeout to stop the clock, so it basically gives an extra 20 or 30 seconds to the Bengals when the Steelers scored on their first play there to try to be aggressive and go for it. And now they only needed 27 seconds, but they were aggressive because of that. And, you know, look, Jamar Chase is a real weapon, and you don't need me to tell you that. But when you have that, man, it does. It changes everything. It changes everything. And now to have – they didn't have a single passing touchdown over 30 air yards last year, Burrow did. And now he's got 3 in 3 weeks to chase. And that was the best one. And that was by far the most impressive one.
Yeah.
I mean, the acceleration – to go get it at the end. Burrow says after the game, Chase came up to me before that and he said, I don't care. Just throw it up. Just throw it up and I'll just throw it up to him. And Burrow said, okay, I'll throw it up to you. And so he dropped back and he did. He threw a rainbow that Chase just put that extra gear on and grabbed just barely on the back of the ball. and hauls it in, and it, and the everything feels different. The same way the Steelers always demoralize the Bengals with the score right before halftime. Yeah. They did that to them. And then to add on with the long, grinding Mixon drive after that, I thought was really it showed their offensive versatility. And it really was when the game changed, because then they could play it where Ben's got to throw it 50 whatever times. He ended up having to throw it, and you can just kind of grind the game out.
Yeah, and it, I mean, I'm writing about this now. It was it can't be overlooked. The people that the Steelers were missing on defense, huge factors all along that defensive front. But it's the NFL. Everybody's got guys, and it wasn't just that they kept Joe clean. It was the efficiency they had in the run game and how they opened up some big holes for Joe Mixon. And sometimes when they didn't, Joe made really good vision or really good cutbacks with good vision, made things happen. It was just – it's what you envision this offense being, the passing game, hitting deep shots, playing off of the run game, everything working in concert. There's – you said it. It wasn't – a perfect game, but there was a whole lot to like after that one.
How about this for efficiency? Joe Mixon, 5 yards a carry. Joe Burrow, 9.6 yards per attempt. No sacks, and they had it long as no quarterback hits in the game book. That is efficiency perfectly. I mean, they barely had the ball, you know, because they forced the Steelers to do these long drives, particularly late in the game. I mean, Burrow only throws 18 passes. It's easy to keep them clean when you only throw it 18 times, but you know, it's not like they ran it a ton. They just didn't run a ton of plays. But when they did, they were efficient. They were effective. When you're doing that, you're gonna score a ton of points. You're gonna score a ton of points. And they cashed in on turnovers. They turned the turnovers into touchdowns when they got opportunities to, and that ends up being the difference in the score of the game.
Logan Wilson, I mean,
you're a real dude now.
Yeah, you had the story where everybody said a breakout year. He's the guy, and he's living up to it. I mean, 13 tackles, 2 interceptions. He was a big factor in them shutting down Najee Harris. Just super, super impressive. And, you know, they lose a woozy, and Darius Phillips comes in, and Jalen Davis was in there at times, and they still did a really good job. I know people hate the prevent defense, but it worked perfectly today. They kept everything in front of them. Yeah, made Pittsburgh do those long drives, eat the clock, and then the really, really long one, they didn't even let him get in the end zone. They drove all the way down there, 8-9 minutes, I think it was, and settled for a field goal.
They held up in the red zone. They let him go down the field by dinking and dunking, and then when they had to get the stops, they got the stops. And that's the perfect way to do it.
All right, let's take a second and switch gears here and hear from a sponsor.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
The other thing that I thought was really interesting, I wrote about this week about Burrow saying, talking about mobility and needing to show that more and do that more and understanding that he hadn't done that through the first couple of weeks. We saw it early, immediately, where it was the one really offensive line miscue where they had free runners coming and Burrow sort of spins away and makes a couple more cuts, then another cut. It ended up being called back because of the holding, I believe. Whatever it was, but he was like immediately taking off, and you could see exactly what he had talked about of, look, I'm going to do that. And then he gets down in the red zone and in empty, they leave no linebackers in the box. And Joe does what you're supposed to do in that point. He calls an audible to call his own number. A QB draw, and he goes out there and he runs and he cuts and he dives forward for a first down and stands up and does the Joe Mixon football drop. And he said after the game, that was really exciting for me because that was something I didn't know if I would be able to do at all this year. And I thought that was really revealing, like kind of exposing his fears that he had about that. And to be able to go do that, that does a lot for his confidence to go do that more now going forward.
Exactly. That opens up that whole possibility now, because other teams are going to be doing that. They're going to see looks like that where teams are selling out to stop the other things. And not just the first down run, but that scramble, knowing that he has the confidence and the knee to do that and make plays. He's so good, not just running with the ball, but making throws on the run, extending the plays. The offense has been okay so far, but you start adding those extra elements into it, and it can really open things up. And, I mean, yeah, his first career touchdown was a run. If they get him back to that where he can see openings, it was that same kind of play where he just called his own number, ran right up the middle. You add that to Mixon and Chase and Boyd. They didn't even have Higgins today, and they still had a good offensive day. It's just, like you said earlier in this podcast, the vision starting to crystallize.
Yeah, and that's not even talking yet about really the reason they won, which is their defense. And the front four continues to get after it. You know, now they had the mismatches again for three straight weeks. It's been offensive lines that have issues, and this one was the worst of all of them. Yeah. But they have exploited that, and whether it's Hendrickson or Ogunjobi, Reer was back there. I mean, they all kind of again took turns getting back there, and you know, they're a quality group, and I think they played a game where they were going to let their defense kind of win it for them, and the offense was able to be explosive enough to go with it, and boom. And I, you know, they're a real group, and they're gaining a whole lot of confidence too.
Yeah, I mean, with Cam Sample with a sack, B.J. Hill gets another one. It's not just the front line guys. They're getting pressure from everywhere, and Tupo played again. I don't think he had any pressures or anything, but it's just if you can keep cycling those guys in and think about as good and as dominant as they've been, what if Joseph Osai doesn't get hurt in that Tampa game?
Yeah.
Imagine what this D-line would be right now. It's just it's really been impressive. You know, arguably the strength of the team so far.
So now you turn around, and you mentioned this earlier, you got this quick turnaround. What a way to gain momentum going into a short week.
Yeah.
And notoriously, short week, these Thursday night games are so hard on the road team. Like, it's just it's a tough chore in a short week and a travel. And now you face a team with a ton of momentum coming back home for a primetime game. It has the possibility to go 3-1. We talked about this needing to make hay this early stretch. This was such a fulcrum of the season to do this now, that now it sets you down that path of the games are going to get harder. Like, the Packers are going to be here in a week and a half. You're gonna have to go to Baltimore. You're going to have to beat Cleveland. Like, they're going to get harder. But to actually make hay when you can make hay and do it, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that the Bengals are going to win a division or anything like that. But you see the improvement. Like, you're seeing it. They are playing like a team that is trending in the right direction. And that was important. That's a big part of what this year's about.
Yeah, well, I mean, this was the pivot game. You know, if they lose this one at 1-2, yeah, they can get back to 500 with a win against Jacksonville. But now you really open it up where you beat Jacksonville 3-1. And then I don't want to say it's a house money game, but, you know, if you lose to Green Bay, it's not the worst thing in the world, and then they get to go to Detroit after that. 4-2 is a very real possibility. If they do somehow beat Green Bay and they're 4-1 going to Detroit, then it's everything that we talked about. We're easy part of the schedule early, young team, a lot of confident guys. You can see it start to snowball. I don't know, thought it was a possibility, but you always wonder with this team, and now seeing it starting to take shape, right? I'm going to be interested to see Thursday night what kind of crowd they have, because I think today's win, kind of like the Monday night win against Pittsburgh last year, really wins some people back over, and I think they may end up with a pretty good crowd. The Ring of Honor, the national TV game, a winnable game against the Jags. I think that's going to be a true test to see how much the fan base is bought back in, what kind of crowd they have Thursday night.
You know how you move the needle with the fan base?
Win.
you beat Pittsburgh.
Yes.
And now doing it back-to-back to do it in the Monday Night Football game. But it was that felt like, okay, you caught a Pittsburgh team overlooking you and all the other things. You come in here, yeah, maybe they're bad, but you now have beaten them two times in a row. It was, I called it two ships passing in the light today because it was, I mean, we talked about this at the end of last year. Like, I thought it looks like when you knew they were going to go through an offseason of losing people, that's going to be a Pittsburgh team that has a good chance of finishing the cellar if the Bengals take the step forward that you thought they would take. And they're going to pick in the top 10. They are bad.
Yeah.
They beat Buffalo, and that might be the result that we look back at. There's always that one game, that's week crazy. One every year, where you're like, I don't understand what happened there. That might be the one, because Ben's not going to all of a sudden like be better. He looks old. The offense looks old. Their line keeps getting hurt.
But nobody can catch.
Nobody.
They dropped ball. They had to have 10 drops today.
You just don't see Pittsburgh like that.
No.
You just don't. And they were booed mercilessly from the first series to the last series. And I mean, think about that. The Bengals came to Pittsburgh and experienced a game where the home crowd just relentlessly booed the Steelers the whole game. And it was just, man, it's one of those days that fan bases remember and players believe in. Like, that's what it is, and that's how you get people back. And winning in Pittsburgh, nothing moves the needle like that, even if they're not the same Pittsburgh.
They booed him after they scored.
Yeah, they did.
Because they were down 17, they kicked the field goal. You need three scores. They booed him after that, and then I'm writing about this in my story. One of the most telling, they didn't play Renegade. They never even had a point in the game where it's like, okay, this is where we need the defensive stop. This is where we need everybody's help. Put on Renegade. Just never even happened. They play that every game. Sometimes earlier, most time in the fourth quarter when they need a big defensive stop, or sometimes if they're destroying teams, they just play it to let everybody get riled up. Didn't even play it today. That was telling.
What was a bigger sign of white flag? Not playing Renegade or the 4th-and-10 dump-off to Najee? Tomlin said they had already fired all their bullets and they didn't really have much of a choice against that defensive coverage. I'm thinking, are you saying you were out of plays? So you just threw the dump off, but just a wild day. And so, first place Bengals.
Wire to wire.
Wire to wire. The first place Bengals are here, and they will be back in Paul Brown Stadium on Thursday night against the Jags. Short week this week. We'll have, of course, the podcast will be out on Tuesday, where we just will be in preview mode of the Jags. We'll kind of just be all-encompassing with that one. I knew it would happen, Jay. I knew it would happen. Hit me on the growler bet. 318 on the money. So we'll give kudos to our growler bet winner when I go back and go through it. Make sure there's only one.
Oh, yeah.
I got to go back through the emails still, but... The immediate alert. I hope you were tracking, because we got the tweet very soon after the game of the growler bet winner. So thanks everybody for participating. It was fun. I knew you'd get me. I knew it was too easy. I need decimal points, Jay. I need decimal points.
Sadistic growler coming Thursday night.
No, without question, it'll be totally ungettable. So that all that's coming up this week, so check back in with us. Then we are on the road back to Pittsburgh, so hopefully we get a safe drive and no cops.
That would be key.
Yeah, that would be key. So thanks, everybody, for joining us in the walkout, drive-out edition where the Bengals beat the Steelers at Heinz Field on Sunday, 24-10. Week 2-1 of the year. Talk to you on Tuesday, everybody. Have a good one.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.